are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, we're going to be joined by Elder Dennis Chisenga. He's going to be guiding us through the review of Chapter 8 of The Great Hope. The chapter is entitled In Defense of the Truth. Now, in this world, which is just swirling with misinformation, half-truths, shifting beliefs, standing firm in the truth has never been more urgent. What do you think? In Defense of the Truth, this chapter challenges us to understand what truth actually means and why it even matters at all, and how to protect it without fear, without compromise. And so this session invites us to explore the courage and wisdom that is needed to uphold truth in our personal lives and in our communities and our faith journeys. So Elder Dennis Chisenga, good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's such a pleasure to have you back on the show with us.
Good morning to you, and I'm grateful to be here.
Beautiful. Now, my elder, we're looking at the eighth chapter. Could you please just begin by giving us a review of what the chapter is about, a summary, just a basic summary of the whole chapter?
The chapter eight of the book, The Great Hope, which is entitled In Defense of the Truth. Actually, it explores about what should be our standpoint. It clearly gives us what should be our focus in terms of us alluding to the nature which exists around the concept of what truth is, which is relativism, depending on what myself I think about what truth is, as in truth is based on one's opinion. So the chapter clearly gives us practical ways we can defend the truth throughout our lives, and also in this world which is faced with challenges, how we can be upholding these convictions which we get as a result of reflecting on the truth. Sure.
Beautiful. Now, we know that truth is not relative. Truth is not flexible. When I saw this, I chuckled to myself, because sometimes we hear about this is my truth. My truth, my perspective is my truth. And yet we know that that's not a thing. That doesn't exist. Truth is truth. It's not relative. It does not depend on the perspective. It doesn't depend on circumstance. It's actually anchored in God's character. It's revealed in Scripture. And that calls for us to have unwavering commitment. Can you speak a little bit about that, how the truth does not shift depending on one's perspective or experience? Let's talk about that.
Actually, the very chapter 8, In Defense of the Truth, it particularly emphasizes the issue of restoration of the truth. That actually restoration of the truth and the importance of holding it fast is very important. So the idea that truth is fluid, that truth changes with personal opinions or cultural shifts, actually is a dangerous modern concept which directly counters by God's word. So the chapter really stresses that the Bible is God's word, and it is a reliable guide. So all who truly accept it as such will understand its truth, and their characters will be sanctified and purified. So what this means is that truth isn't something we invent. It isn't something, it is something we discover in God's unchanging character, which is perfectly revealed in Scripture. So our commitment then is not to an idea, but to God himself. So if God does not change, then truth shouldn't change. Then truth shouldn't be relative. It should be absolute.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, I love that. And I feel like there's safety in that, right? There's a safety in knowing what is expected, though the heavens fall. Like in knowing that this is what God expects of me, and so this is the standard by which I live. And when I live that way, even the people around me, the people who have to associate with me, even they are safe, because they come after, you know, after having experienced life with me, they've come to know what to expect of me. And they come to know that they can speak with confidence and say, ah, this one will never do that, because, you know, because I am anchored to the word, not to, it depends. If the pressure is high enough, then maybe I might compromise, you know?
Actually, what you've stressed out is very important. The fact that truth is absolute and it's not relative, it gives us confidence to trust God. Because if he was the same yesterday, is the same today, we will be sure that you'll be the same even tomorrow.
Yes.
So the challenge with relativism is that we cannot truly trust if at all if God is even there, if at all the Bible is even genuine, because if I interpret things according to how I think, how I feel, if the truth is dependent on me, the recipient of it, then it's not something we can trust. But what has made the fact the Bible to even stand the test of time, to even be present with us here, even after thousands of years when it was written, is the fact that it does not change. It still remains the same. So it's not like what we say, where people said, "Nimwamene wa imverela." It's how you hear it or how you feel it. No, it's not like that. It's how it's supposed to be, because it's never changes.
Love that. Love that. Now, defending truth also means more than just arguing facts. That's one thing that we like to do as Christians, the arguing, the debating. But it requires living authentically, reflecting God's love and his wisdom and integrity. Speak to us a little bit about that.
Chapter 8 of the same great hope, it discusses the truth which sanctifies and how our lives are a testament to this. So it's not enough to simply know Bible facts. We must embody them. For example, if we believe in honesty, our business dealings must reflect that. If we believe in love, our interactions with our family, with strangers, it must also demonstrate it. So this means conducting business with integrity, treating colleagues with respect, and showing kindness to customers, even when it's inconvenient. So our daily life is a testament to the purity and the sanctity of the Bible. So people may not read the Bible, but they will read our lives. So sometimes when we start defending the truth through arguments and the like, it does not really have a lasting change on people unless they see the very truth which we are defending in ourselves. Then they can know. I can give an example of the Sabbath. If somebody says, no, the Sabbath is the true day of worship, you will release verses, scriptures, and the like. But if somebody has not seen any change in your life about Sabbath keeping, it's not something which they'll be moved to begin to agree that it is, in fact, God's day. I can give an example of myself. When actually my whole entire family, my biological family, they are not Seventh-day Adventists.
Okay.
So when I was living with my parents and I became an Adventist, I chose to walk with Christ. By then I was just in high school. There were a lot of challenges I faced. They were like, if you stay under my roof, you must go to my church, not your church.
Yeah.
Because we start there. All those arguments. But now as time went on, I continued to dedicate myself to God's work. I continued to observe the Sabbath despite these challenges and the like. And soon they started calling me pastor, pastor, pastor. And they saw how I lived differently from the friends who I grew up with, who I was staying within the same area.
Yeah.
And from that moment, they resisted from threatening me, from telling me to stop worshiping on the day when I was worshiping, because they saw that the truth transformed me. So there was no need of me getting a Bible. I begin to argue with them. No, yes, scripture says this and this. But I lived the life of a Sabbath keeper. And from that, it was a great argument against them to let me be free to worship my God. Sure.
Wow. That's powerful. That's really powerful, because I'm thinking about, you know, sometimes we have the standard that we set as Seventh-day Adventists, where we say in our workspace, for example, I don't work on the Sabbath. And we're very fierce on that one, that I'm not coming to work. If there's any emergency or whatever, I'm not coming to work on a Sabbath. But everything else, we are very casual. And the whole world can see it. Like, you are the biggest liar. You cannot be trusted to be faithful to your husband or your wife. Your whole lifestyle is so opposed to God's law, except this one thing, the Sabbath thing. And that is not a testimony to anyone. That doesn't preach to anyone. But when we live our lives according to God's law, the entire law, only then do people start to take notice and say, this church is kind of different. The people from this church are different They seem to, you know, the whole person, even the way that we relate, the way that they're diligent in their work, even for those other 6 days, they're very diligent. They do their work perfectly. Not that they're leaving things much to be desired. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that's really powerful right there. And now let's talk about the battle for truth and you know, the fact that sometimes it involves confronting cultural pressure. Like in your example, you're talking about your family coming against what you've been raised in, and you still have to live in that home with those, you know, with the same principles, but you're trying, you don't want to be confrontational. You don't want to be disrespectful, but the truth is the truth as well. And sometimes, you know, even our well-meaning friends and family, they also sometimes can challenge our convictions.
Well, the same chapter, actually, it deals with how the great deceiver has many heresies prepared to fit the different tastes of those who wants to be ruined. So these heresies are often disguised with the number one, popular culture, societal norms, or even well-intentioned advice from those we love. For instance, standing firm on biblical principles regarding marriage, honesty, or social justice, they might put us at odds with prevailing cultural narratives or even with family members who actually hold different views. So it takes courage to say this is what God's word say, even when it's unpopular. So this book actually, it gives us cautions. And there's a quote which says, few people stop when they have rejected just one truth. So the majority of us may set aside one after another of the principles of truth until we reject the Christian faith altogether. So that shouldn't be the case. We should actually hold on to truth one to another, not set one truth aside to fit the popular demand. So actually, this highlights the insidious nature of compromise. So often we start small, and little by little we grow into significant spiritual drift. So we must actually aim at holding on to truth. One step into holiness will lead us to one step into another step into holiness. So one truth we hold on to will be entrusted with more truth we can hold on to. But if we let go of one truth and uphold another, we'll let go even the one on which we uphold.
That's frightening. That can be very frightening to think about that, because, again, speaking to us as Christians and maybe even more specifically Seventh-day Adventist Christians, where we have certain, like I said, I used the Sabbath example, we hold on to that one thing, but the devil comes in little by little. And funny enough, you'll find that even that one thing that you believe, which is that the seventh day is holy, he can start to just chip away that yes, you can go to church on the Sabbath, but you didn't prepare Sabbath lunch, so why don't you just go out and buy something for lunch? You don't want to cook, right? You can't cook on Sabbath because that's working. So you can, but rather go and buy something. At least that's not working. But that's still breaking the Sabbath, essentially. You know, and we find different ways to accommodate our own comfort, and we find ways to compromise. Before we know it, we've gone. Yes, and we go all out.
Yes. Actually, that's the greatest challenge, where as Christians, we always have, if we always have a reason to sin, a reason to compromise, then just know we are in danger of losing everything out, because always the devil will give you a reason to why you should compromise, a reason to why you shouldn't be faithful. So ours is to just trust the Lord and to just depend on him. If he has led us thus far, if we've trusted him way back, we can still trust him today and tomorrow, and will not die. We'll actually be saved. We'll be with him, and he will always be with us. So there's nothing to fear in the future if we know how God has led us in the past.
Amen. But my elder, if I decide that I'm going to hold to this truth and I'm going to live my life according to this truth, is there a risk that I am going to be viewed as being fanatical?
Well, There's a principle I learned when I was in university and when I was studying agriculture economics, mm-hmm. opportunity costs. Mm-hmm. So opportunity cost states that for every gain, there's a loss. Mm-hmm. For every gain, there's a sacrifice. So all in all, if we hold on to the truth, there is some opposition which you face. There's something which you lose out. So sometimes will be viewed as being fanatical. Sometimes will be viewed as being extremist. And sometimes we ourselves, if we do not uphold the truth in its correct context, sometimes we may sway away and take things into extreme. Mm. But if we are guided by the Spirit and we are in the confines of Scripture, it does not matter if people point us to be fanatical, if people point us to be extremists, as long as what we are holding on is the truth in its right context, then there's nothing to fear. So we'll be pointed fingers at. Jesus was pointed fingers at for doing some things. He was told you are a breaker of the Sabbath all because he healed somebody. A lot of people are faced opposition. So we will not be the last ones, and we are not the first ones who have been accused of some things because of holding on to the truth. So there's nothing to fear.
Yeah, beautiful. I think we can wrap it up right there for today, and then we'll be continuing on with this review on Thursday. Thank you so much for coming through this morning and for the beautiful review that we've had this morning. God bless you.
No, thank you. God bless you too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.